Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hour number two on this Monday around the country. Tiki and Tierney, what's happening? Coming from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. What's happening? Tiki Barber, Brandon Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Around the country here, SiriusXM 206, radio.com, Apple iTunes, on Twitter, Tiki and Tierney. Let's see, what else can we plug? At Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney, youtube.com/Tiki and Tierney. You know, there's an old saying, I think this is the saying, you know, ask for the moon, you might get a star. Or yeah. reach for the moon, you might stumble upon a star, but ask for the moon, you might get a star. So, like, you know, when you're 8 years old, you want to ask Santa to bring a Maserati? Go for it. Yeah. Maybe you get a scooter instead.
Yeah. It's actually the other way. It should be the other way around. Like, logically, you should reach for the stars and you might land on the moon, because this next star is hundreds of millions of light years away.
I got
There's no
you.
Stars All near right. us.
Geek Fest.
There's
thank
one
you.
Star.
I got you. But the point being, you know, when you start to write down those Christmas lists, as we all did, you know, certainly as adults back in the day and as kids do now so joyously, dear Santa, I want to own the New York Yankees. I want a Maserati. Again, I said maybe you get the scooter instead of the Maserati. Yeah, you wind up getting something, you just don't get the Maserati. So as we get to the Pac-12 and this very ambitious letter of what they are demanding from the conference, the football players, I got to tell you, it's outlandishly crazy what they're asking for.
Yeah. Now, some of the things make sense. Like, what they're asking for makes sense. And I'm glad that they are expressing their desire. For those who have missed this, it's a letter in the Players Tribune entitled, hashtag, We Are United. And they go through a bunch of things. Some of them are related to the coronavirus and the protections that should be afforded to them. Yep. But then they get into things like, stop paying coaches so much and stop with all these capital infrastructure improvements that are crushing the income that comes in, and, you know, guarantee more sports, like Stanford, for instance, which had 36 sponsored sports. They cut 11 of them, and now they have 25. Not, you know, in the reality is 25 is still 7 or 8 more than most universities have over the, you know, in that they're sponsored. And so that's one thing that they ask for. They ask for name, image, and likeness protection. They ask for things like insurance. Give us insurance so we can protect ourselves in our sports, and also because of what's going on with the coronavirus. These things are reasonable. They talk about, you know, the social and racial justice cause or reckoning that's going on in this country and creating task force and things of that nature. Most of those you can get on board with and say, I understand why athletes need some of that. Maybe not to the extent that they're asking, but they need some of that. Mm-hmm. The thing that they're like, you know, jumping the shark on a little bit, BT, is one of the last one. Fair market rights, pay, and freedoms. Distribute 50% of each sports.
Yep.
Each sport, so whether it's football, basketball, lacrosse, you know, baseball, whatever, each sport's total conference revenue evenly among athletes. So, I mean,
you're wasting my time with that.
It's like they're creating a collective bargaining agreement for college athletes. And I get it. Like, in your mind, that sounds good. But most college sports are Olympic sports and severely non-revenue. In fact, they lose a ton of money. So there's no way that you're getting, you're taking a revenue split with the majority of the college sports. And even football in some of these places isn't generating money. So That's what true. You're asking That's for true. Is doesn't make any sense.
It makes no sense. And by asking for so much, so many unrealistic things, it dilutes the ultimate message.
Yes.
And it really obscures some parts of emphasis that you and I are both 100% behind, as Tiki
right.
talked about, the coronavirus protocols, 100%, no doubt. The social justice reform that they want, a civic engagement task force, 100%. Mm-hmm. Those
no
are
doubt.
Things, you know, you flex your strength as a student athlete. This is the time to do those things, no doubt. And the iron's kind of hot pertaining to those, for sure. You might even get those things, but to demand 6 years of medical insurance once your eligibility ends, I mean, I could see if they were demanding 1 year in case
yeah.
somebody has a lingering issue, a surgical procedure, that in case there's a complication after you graduation, 6 years, stop wasting my time.
Yeah.
50% of the rev ticket, stop wasting my time. You know what I would start to do? And I've always taken the position of, well, I shouldn't say always. There was a fairly long period, and I've come around to this, admittedly. And listen, everybody knows Tiki is, as the, of course, the star. You know, you listen to somebody who played 4 years of Division I baseball who had a scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
Not a full ride, but I got some money, and I played 4 years. So I've seen this up close, and my opinion always was, you know what? You get an education, you're getting books, you're getting food, getting a great dorm, you're getting great gear, you're getting hooked up pretty much, right? I was fine with that. But the exorbitant profits for these schools has become so disjointed.
Yeah.
I want to make it level. And that's where I've gotten behind the student athlete, behind branding and maintaining their imaging. That goes without saying.
Yeah.
But I'm also now at a point where they're beginning to get a little bit too cocky or too aggressive. If I'm the NCAA, let me throw this at you. If I'm the NCAA, I might be prepared to play hardball. Here's what I might say. I might put on my glasses and in my $2,000 suit as I sit on my mahogany desk and with my $500 loafers and a Cohiba cigar drinking some good scotch, because you know that they're treating themselves because the money's not going to the players. I might put on my glasses and say, all right, they want this, they want this, they want this. How about this? We'll give you nothing. All right, we'll give you. How's that sound? Is that equitable? We'll give you nothing, all right, outside of the coronavirus and social justice stuff, which I'm all for. And if you don't agree to that, good luck. Here's
yeah.
the question that I asked Tiki. If you're a college football player, where are you going if
yeah.
you don't play college football?
They're, you're not going anywhere.
Bingo.
And that's the problem. Basketball,
they got no leverage.
Basketball, you have some leverage.
A little bit.
You know, baseball, maybe you have leverage, but
not
really.
Much.
Not really, because you're either getting drafted as a senior in high school and going to do that anyways, or you're going to college, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's.
And by the way, too, real quick, if you get drafted out of high school, not everybody's going first round. If you're a 19th round pick out of high school, yeah, maybe with the notion of going to college, you squeeze out $50,000 from a team. You're not getting life-changing money
no.
as a 19th round high school kid.
No,
and
it's
not.
And it's not lasting you a couple of years, maybe.
No.
You know what I mean? So you're right. So there isn't a ton of leverage here. But here's the bigger issue, BT, is the NCAA is just an association. So you're saying this as a Pac-12 group, talking to the NCAA and all of your respective schools, but really all of those schools and the hundreds of others, the 100 and whatever it is, 20 other schools that make up the NCAA, at least on the D1 level,
mm-hmm.
right? That's what the NCAA is. So the conversation isn't as straightforward as, hey, NCAA, Mark Emmert, we're demanding this for the Pac-12. You have to give it to us. It's 130 organizations that have to decide that this is okay to be given. And so they're reaching and they're trying to exercise their power. I just think that they're stepping a little bit too far outside of what they can do. There's certain things that they can do and influence, and I think it'll be important. Name, image, and likeness for your individual brand
yeah.
is one. I mean, that's a capitalistic right.
It's a given.
The fact that we're in America, you should be able to do that.
Agreed.
If the NCAA is stopping you, yeah, they're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, playing during a pandemic, you should have health insurance. But to ask for things that are usually collectively bargained in major businesses like the NFL or Major League Baseball or the NBA, In college, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make economic sense if you really think about it. So I think they're onto something. They're just a little bit too aggressive.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it looks cute. You put a whole letter on the Players Tribune, and you have a hashtag, and you know, it seems effective, but it's going to do nothing. It's really going to do nothing here, with the exception of the coronavirus and the social justice angle again, which I think is paramount. But the other stuff, think about this. Without leverage, you get nothing. Because if I'm a coach, and I'm coaching University X, right, and I've got, you know, whatever I have, maybe I have a year to go on my contract, or even two, and I've done pretty well. Hey, you know what, guys? Listen, if you don't re-up me now, I'm going to quit. I'm going to leave you in a lurch. Okay, I'm going to go broadcast for 2 years. Recruiting's dead. There's recourse there. The school has to think, and they have to flinch, because if they don't, they're like, well, what are the repercussions? We have no coach. Our recruiting gets sabotaged. The progress we've made begins to get retarded. It retards itself. So we've got an issue. We've got to do. You know what? Here's the extension. Okay. If you're a broadcaster and you've got a year to go on your deal, and other networks are calling, there's a way to leverage that, to navigate that. And the company that you currently work for has to make a tough decision. I'm going to ask the question again. If I'm a college football player, whether I'm playing for the Seminoles or I'm playing for the Cavaliers or Boston College or the Fighting Irish or USC or UCLA or Texas or anywhere in between, if I don't play for that school, right, and it's not about the school where I want to transfer, it's I am now putting my line in the sand, and my delineation is I'm not going to play college football unless I get this, 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 and this. Well, then I say, well, guess what? I guess you're not playing college football because you're not getting this, 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 and this. The NBA, that's fine. Go overseas, make a few million. The G League, which they've spruced up, make a $500,000 for the premier prospects. Those are viable options. Even somebody like Bryce Harper, who's one in a million, was able to circumvent the usual high school route, get his GED, go play JUCO because he was so advanced as a ball player, and maximize his earning power by getting into the draft the year early. So I ask again, if you're a football player, where are you going? The answer is nowhere.
Yeah.
Zero leverage.
Yeah,
none.
You're right. And most of the other sports are that way as well, BT.
Yep.
You know, maybe if you're good enough as, let's say, a mogul skier, and that just comes up because Jeremy Bloom always jumps into my head.
I remember. Yeah.
Right? If you're a mogul skier and you're that good at 16 or 17, you don't got to go to college. You can just go find some sponsors and go start competing internationally. Maybe you can do that, but it's there's aren't tons of options for any of these sports. And look, I get them. I commend them for using their voice and demanding what they want. But I think they need to be a little bit more nuanced in what they're asking for.
Yeah.
Because if you want it to happen, it's one thing to ask for it, but if you actually want it, you gotta be willing to, you know, come to the middle, because this is their first salvo. Who knows if the NCAA even responds, or does the NCAA say Pac-12, this is your problem, you deal with it?
I wouldn't respond. I wouldn't respond.
I don't think they were. Now the question is, should the NCAA respond?
No.
Should there be a unified leader who gives some guidance over college sports right now? And I only bring this up, BT, because there hasn't been around the coronavirus, right? Leagues and teams are not teams, but really schools. Leagues and schools are up. And they're basically on their own. It's why you're seeing the Big 12 does this, or not even, they haven't done anything yet, but the Big 10 does this, and then the ACC does that, and then the SEC does this, and all D1 and D3, they're basically canceled. The Ivy League is canceled. They're kind of all over the place because there isn't a unified leader at the top of the NCAA offering guidance. There is a leader up there, but he's not offering guidance here. Do we need some guidance? Because the Pac-12 is going to look at this letter from these kids and be like, all right, we get you, but what can we do? Who are we passing the buck to? That's exactly right.
They're going
to
pass the buck. Now, my initial answer was no, but the NCAA does need to react to the aspect of safety and protocol for the virus and for social justice. They need to address those two things and let the student athlete know that as a human being, we have your back.
Yes.
And from a medical point of view, we have your back. And that's the social justice and the virus aspect. That you do immediately. That should have been done immediately. The other stuff, you know, I'm saying this. They wouldn't say this, but I'm saying this, you know, as somebody who's not, you know, I don't have any skin in the game. you placate them on the other stuff.
Name, image, and likeness is going to happen. So,
well, I don't mean that. That's a given.
I agree, exactly. But the other stuff?
6 years of medical insurance?
BT,
I didn't get that.
I didn't get that when I played 10 years in the NFL. I'm just saying.
That's right. You got five years, right?
I got five.
Come on.
5 years. So, I mean, yeah, you're right. It's just it's too much. Now think about all the student athletes. It's too much.
Yeah.
Right? And so
it's not sustainable, Teague.
Yes.
It's really
They might be able to do it for a year. Maybe. Not even. And then nobody else is benefiting from this.
And you know,
line.
I'll tell you what. I mean, you know, this isn't, you know, glory days tales of being a star, but I had Tommy John surgery.
Yeah,
my senior
of course.
Year, right?
Yes.
I had Tommy John surgery. Because I had already redshirted and I was already I guess I could have applied for a sixth year, but I didn't really want to be Evan Eschmeyer and play for 6 years in college. So I said
Lots of guys are in college for 8 years. Yeah, they're called doctors.
Exactly. You know, don't get me wrong. I wouldn't mind it hanging around the bar for another year. But no, it was time to move on. My degree, even my last semester, I was only taking three courses. It was all electives. I was done. But I had Tommy John surgery on November 1st, all right, at HSS. Dr. Olchek, the Mets doctor. Tiki, probably, you know that.
Yep.
And then, because it was my last year and I was out of options, I played on St. Patrick's Day.
Okay. Oh,
down in Florida, opening day. November, I had the surgery, the scars here. I played St. Patrick's Day, March 17th. Now, that's not, I'm an idiot in hindsight. But the reason I did it is because I loved baseball, I loved to compete, and I wanted to play my last year, and I wanted to play on opening day. Now, by doing that, I have adversely affected my arm for the rest of my life. I can't do it because of the camera, but my left arm perfectly straight, my right arm's crooked. I mean, it's still like somewhat strong. But I mean, I've got arthritis. I mean, you don't think I would have loved an extra couple of years of medical insurance to be able to go back and get it scoped out or cleaned out? But even I'm saying, as a guy who was, you know, probably far too athletically ambitious with this surgery back in the day, that's ridiculous. Forget 6 years. Even asking for 2 years is out of bounds. They jumped into the deep end of the pool and they tried to do like a great belly flop off the high dive. You should have probably gotten your feet wet first and streamline these ideas. It's too much, it's too sloppy, and it's far too ambitious. Not happening.
They should have got some successes and then gone from there.
There we go. All right. It does still hurt though, I gotta be honest with you, Teak. My arm. It does. Oh, your partner's been beat up.
I feel for you. And I played professionally for a decade. I feel better than you, I think.
You know what, though? I mean, it means nothing from outside of a pride point of view and the few guys that I played with that I really care about.
Yeah.
You know what? I got back from Tommy John surgery in 5 months. Moron, but proud of it. All right. And that's the Pac-12 aspect. What about the SEC aspect? We'll get to that. Of course, you talk college football, you have to talk SEC. What are they thinking? What are the players thinking? What's the league thinking? We'll get to that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
When you need auto parts fast, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. You can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35, or order online at O'ReillyAuto.com and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to you curbside. You can even have your battery tested free of charge while you're there. And if it needs to be replaced, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery that fits your vehicle at a guaranteed low price. Like SuperStart batteries exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts, designed to meet the electrical demands of today's vehicles. Get dependable power and performance from a SuperStart battery for your car, truck, motorcycle, lawnmower, boat, and more. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts or visit O'ReillyAuto.com today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day.
This is for the Jays. It's for the hustlers. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is one. It's an underrated song, by the way. We don't hear this as much as you should. CBS Sports Radio's line is 1-855-212-4227. It's 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Now, Geico's introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that'll last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. All right, Teague, let's face it. There's the we react to every conference, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But we're all waiting on the conference, with all due respect to the Big Ten, which is a phenomenal brand of football, of course. The Big 12, which has been defense optional, but incredibly entertaining and viable offensively with NFL players and highly rated teams. We're all waiting to see what's happening with the SEC. And while the SEC has not been as aggressive to players as the Pac-12, the letter in the Players Tribune in this movement, behind the scenes, and I guess in a conference call over the weekend, intimated to league officials, football players, rightfully so, in the SEC are very alarmed and not accepting of the current state of the way things are going in their conference either.
Yeah. No. So this was a conversation that took place last Wednesday, BT, between about a dozen or so SEC football players. There were members of the conference hierarchy, advisory board members, et cetera, officials, even and the commissioner, Greg Sankey. And obviously the conversation from a player standpoint that comes out is, how are we going to stay healthy, right? What's in place for us to keep us safe during this pandemic? And this leaked story. It was leaked on Sunday, and the Washington Post did a story on it. Actually, it probably leaked on Saturday, and the Washington Post did a story on Sunday. It paints the SEC in a negative light, almost like they know what's at stake here, right? There's big money at stake for the SEC,
yep.
Yet the answers for the student athletes isn't as forthcoming as they should be. And, you know, this isn't to, you know, backtrack on what we were just talking about with the Pac-12, BT, but in a sense, because of this unprecedented circumstance in our country, mm-hmm. you got to be upfront and forward with the student athletes. There used to be a time where, you know, two decades ago, maybe even longer, hey, student athlete, we're giving you a free scholarship to come play football, do this, that, and the other thing, and do it six times and twice on Sunday, you know, two more times on Sunday, right? Mm-hmm. You'd say, oh, of course, count me in.
You got a coach.
You got it. Whatever you say, you run through that wall, you got it.
Sure.
It's changed significantly because the student athlete is so much more aware of what's going on in the world, and they're distrustful in a sense of authority. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean that in a rambunctious or rebellious type of way, but mm-hmm. like they're going to look out for number one also. And so because the SEC is so powerful, because it's all we talk about in college football really is what two teams are representing the SEC in the college football playoff. It's every single year, it seems like. The student athletes realize this, and they recognize that there is a big financial stake for playing these games for the SEC. But how are you going to take care of us? That's mm-hmm. that's the question that's being asked, and the answers aren't acceptable, I think.
Well, what makes this really interesting, you know, and it goes along with what Teague is saying about the ability to fight back a little bit here and try to create a more equitable playing field, is that, you know, even though, you know, we've long known there was an element of exploitation, even though I said this last segment, you know, for a long time, I was all about, you know, the books and board and food and a great education, great experience. But, you know, as close to enough for the student athlete, but the pie's gotten so big that it's just unfair to position it that way anymore. But what's happened now is that while gripes were aired back in the day, they really just dissipated. They died out. They were snuffed out because they had no shelf life. A player can sit around at his locker and say, man, could you believe what our coach is getting? Could you believe what this guy's getting? Can you believe that we just had say it was 1987. Man, can you believe we just had 110,000 people come to watch us, and all we get is this little Nike sweatshirt? You know, I'm sure that those conversations happen, but there was nowhere for those displeasures to go. Now it's called social media, and now what's happening is that not only are the voices being put out there and putting things on blast, but people are really moved to support the young student athlete. So you've got the athletic uprising, but then also the adult side, most of whom agree with the student athletes pushing that forward as well.
They support them because they know that, like, they're the reason. That's who we're actually watching. This is why name, image, and likeness, which you were just talking about in the last segment, is so important, because these athletes get it. They have, you know, as a 20-year-old sophomore or junior, whatever he may be, it's like, dude, I got a million followers. I got 500,000 followers. Right? People care about me. And you used to not know. Like, I think people care about me. Maybe they do. Maybe, I don't know. They might be, you know, screaming my name at home in the background. Now you know definitively that they care about you because they follow you and they like you and they comment on things. They criticize you, whatever. They're paying attention to you. And so your influence is powerful and meaningful. And I think the SEC is caught right now because they have a multi-million dollar industry that big time student athletes, five stars, four stars from throughout the South and even in, you know, a little bit west, if you count some of the teams in Texas and Oklahoma that populate the SEC schools, the players, that is, then you know that, like, our influence is wide, and it means a lot for us if we can have a voice. And right now they don't. And that's kind of what was expressed on this call. It was, again, in context, it sounds bad. We don't know what the rest of the call was like because we haven't heard it. But it makes the SEC look bad in this leaked conversation that they had with the SEC players.
I agree. It makes them look petty, makes them look insensitive and callous and, insensitive to the plight of the student athlete. I mean, listen, we've already seen what Michigan State's doing. They're in the process of a complete quarantine.
Yep.
Rutgers has pulled the plug on their practices. They've completely shut down after issues with their program. Shiano's back there, but they had to shut it down early. The thought that this is going to just somehow miraculously go away.
It's not.
Is the height of recklessness.
It's what baseball thought, BT.
Yeah.
We're going to be fine.
Yeah.
Right? We got a plan. It's not a good one, but we got a plan. They didn't know at the time wasn't a good one. We got a plan. We're going to be all right. We're always all right. And then you're not. And then you're not.
I know. And, you know, you just can't expect. You know, here's the other thing, too. Let's just call for what it is, Deke. Whether it's the AD, whether it's the school president, whether it's the coach. And I'm sure that there's some distance between the coach who actually recruited these kids and really cares about these kids, maybe more than the bean counters. Don't get me wrong. Coach wants to win. Coach wants to get paid. But, you know, there's a real relationship with these players from the coaching point of view. So it's probably a little different there. But do you think that these – now, we're guessing. The most brilliant minds in the world are still somewhat guessing. Do we know for sure – the answer is no. I ask this rhetorically. If you test positive for COVID-19 now, even if you are a pillar of health, you're 18 years old, you have 4.5% body fat, you just look like Zeus, what happens when you're 40? What happens when this virus manifests itself or lies dormant and then triggers in 20 years, if that happens, and there's a belief strongly that it does? To what degree, I don't know, and I'm going to stay in my lane. But do you think the schools are going to give a rat's behind about that 35-year-old player who used to play for them, who's now dealing with a debilitating injury he or she could die from?
No.
They don't care,
no.
And they'll never care. They care about the money. So the players need to stand up for themselves, and they need to be assertive.
Yeah, you're right. You don't know what long-term effect having the coronavirus is going to do on you. It could be nothing at all. You could be perfectly fine. Or you could the pitcher's name?
The Red Sox, yeah. Yep. I mean, but there's other instances, too. There's been some medical – again, we've been a little bit all over the map medically, but there's been some strong medical innuendo that points us – maybe innuendo's the wrong way, but evidence, whatever – that points to this possibly, you know, being an issue, a real issue down the road for some people.
But why that's important is because on this call they said – We are sure that there are going to be positive cases on their teams. It's a given. Yeah. It's a given.
It's a given.
What does that mean? If you're a kid, if you're a player, what does that mean? So somebody's going to get sick on our team, or maybe 20 people are going to get sick on our team. And hey, it's given. It is what it is, man. You got to figure it out as you
deal with it.
And unless you have some underlying condition you didn't know about, and all of a sudden it affects you for the rest of your life.
Mm. Certainly a story we're going to keep an eye on, no doubt. But far from home when it comes to college football. Let's move to the NFL. Vikings getting ready for a couple of contract extensions, but not for the person Viking fans probably really want to see get one. We'll hit that in inbounds, out of bounds in a minute. That's After Racks Update, which is right now. Here's Rich.
You know, I would say underrated band, but people who really know music know R.E.M.'s not underrated. R.E.M. was phenomenal. Is phenomenal. All right, yeah. Tiki and Tierney here. Good bar music too, right, Tiki?
Exactly. A little chill, R.E.M. Have a beer.
Yeah.
Couple shots. Uh-huh. Good to go, man.
That's right. This segment brought to you by Doing More, brought to you by the Home Depot. Go to homedepot.com for all your storage, carpet, and flooring solutions in one place. The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Jason Tatum was doing more, led the way for the Celtics, dropped in. What do you have? I think it was at a lead. I know he had 8 assists. There at 34 points, shot efficiently, 11 out of 22. And the Celtics with a 4-point win over the Blazers, 128 to 124. So, Doing More. Sponsored by the Home Depot. And Teak, before we get to inbounds, out of bounds, you know, because you were right next to me, how I reacted to the Porzingis trade, right? Listen to this tweet from the Mavericks PR department. You ready?
Go ahead.
Because it's his birthday, so they're wishing him happy birthday.
Okay.
In NBA history, Porzingis is the only player with 35 points, 10 rebounds, 5 blocks, and 5-plus threes in a game. That's one. Mm-hmm. The fastest to 400-plus three-pointers made and 400 blocks, 233 games. No one's been there quicker. One of only five players with at least 4,000 points, 1,500 boards, 400 threes, and 400 swats before turning 25.
Wow.
And this is the guy that they gave away for Dennis Smith.
Yeah. Thanks, Nick. Appreciate you, Dennis Smith, who can't play basketball. Despite, do we have his coach on?
No, we had Mark Cuban on who bet me.
Oh, that Cuban, that's right. That's right.
Remember, he bet me.
Why is Cuban defending him?
I think they were boys. I think he really has a – because he drafted him, and I think he really likes him. But he bet me – because, listen, Dennis Smith just is never going to be a shooter. He's an athlete. No. And Cuban, we had on the show about a month or so ago, radio.com, Apple iTunes, really good spot. And Cuban's telling us that that Dennis Smith is going to become a 40% three-point shot. I'm like, 40%?
No chance.
He's 28. He's terrible. And so we bet $100, so we'll see. You ready for a little inbounds, out-of-bounds here, Mr. Barber?
I am. Let's hit it.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out-of-bounds now. Tiki and Tierney.
Here we go. Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer signed a new 3-year deal. This was last week. We talked about that. And now reportedly this week, Minnesota's working on a multi-year deal for their GM, Rick Spielman. However, running back Dalvin Cook's made it clear for months he's seeking the new deal. Something else we've discussed before the season starts. Mm-hmm. And that remains unresolved, Tiki. So, inbounds or out of bounds. The Vikings should have done contract extensions for head coach Mike Zimmer and GM Rick Spielman before Dalvin Cook.
Well, I think if you're going to do Mike Zimmer, you might as well do the general manager and tie them together. So I want to say inbounds of this. Now, I do still think they need to get, and they're unrelated because the money is not, it's not tied in any way. Obviously, Dalvin Cook is tied to the salary cap. Rick Spielman and Mike Zimmer are tied to how much the ownership wants to pay Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman. But I do believe that you should tie your general manager and head coach together, especially ones that have been together as long as they have. Now, they've been together six seasons. This will be their seventh season together, and they've done really well defensively. I mean, they're perpetually top 10, or perennially, I should say, top 10 in the National Football League. Offense, they're here and there, and, you know,
they're pretty good,
but they're here and there. I'm talking about rating-wise and numbers-wise, but they're good enough to win. I think they should have put them together because it's a good team, and when it goes south, I think they'll go south together, and it would mean it's time to move on. So I'm going to say inbounds.
I'm going to say inbounds too, but I'm also going to say it doesn't really matter because they're going to get the Dalvin Cook deal done. And just because you know, as they signed Zimmer a week or so ago and now Spielman, they're working on that multi-year deal. It's not like you're taking from the piggy bank and it obviously it precludes you from signing Dalvin Cook. And, you know, there's emotions at play and this guy feels like he's getting hosed. He's been a big piece of the success. No, those are completely separate entities. The head coach GM duo dynamic, which I agree, if you can lock them in and have them, you know, contractually in unison, I think that's always advantageous for a franchise. And, you know, Dalvin Cook is, when he's right, he's a difference maker. I think Kirk Cousins kind of needs him.
Yep.
And, you know, without Stephon Diggs, although I love who they drafted, the kid from LSU, 23rd, I think it was, Jefferson. I think that's one of the steals, so I love that pick. But this will get done. I say inbounds, but really at the end of the day, it's more about symbolism and nothing tangible. I don't think it really matters. It's all going to get done.
Are you in or are you out?
Jimmy Butler, Miami Heat, OG Jimmy Butler for sure, was forced to change jerseys before Saturday's game against the Nuggets. Now, we all remember Butler wanted to wear a jersey that had no name on it or no social justice statement on the back. He just wanted to go out nameless. And basically his point, well, you know, he speaks about it here. He spoke post-game about being told to switch his jersey to one that had his name on the back. Here's Butler.
Jimmy, what was the official explanation you finally got from the league as to why you couldn't wear the nameplate empty on your jersey?
I don't know. I don't care. So I didn't have a name on the back at the start, but I decided to change because my teammates probably knew me a little bit today.
Okay, so there's Jimmy in or out. The NBA is sending a mixed message by forcing Butler to switch jerseys.
Yeah, I don't know if it... I'm going to say out of bounds because I don't think it's a mixed message. I just think... I don't know what the message is, to be honest with you. I don't think it's mixed. I think they're making a statement about social justice by allowing the player to wear whatever it is they want on the back of their jerseys. Usually, you know, most guys are putting slogans, whether it's Black Lives Matter or vote or whatever it may be, say her name or say his name, etc. Yep. Or they have their names. Why? I don't know what message they're sending by saying Jimmy Butler can't have anything. He wants to be nameless. It's about the team. That's how I would take it. In all these years of strife with organizations or teams or teammates, I don't think it's been a selfish reasons. I think it's been because he wants the team to be better. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna say out of bounds because I don't know what the mixed message is.
Yeah, I agree. My answer is out of bounds, and I'm a big Butler fan. I love his old school tenacity. He's blunt.
Yep.
He is, you know, he's showing up to work every day. How would you not want Jimmy Butler on your team? Everybody would. I think that, at least, you know, pertaining to this angle, you do have to have rules, and I'm sure some people would disagree. But you got to have rules. If you know, you came up with roughly 20 messages that you could use. That's great. Let the players do it. Most have elected not to. Most have elected to. Mm-hmm. Like LeBron and Anthony Davis have James and Davis on theirs. But still, I guess, this is just a rough guess from watching some games, 90% of the players have some sort of message on there.
Yeah.
But that was outlined beforehand. You just can't. It's still the NBA. You can't have guys doing things so when they walk to midcourt for the opening tip, not everybody's abiding by all the same rules. Here's the 20 or so messages you can use. And if you don't use those, you have to have your name. You can't just go out there blank.
Yeah.
That's easy. That's out of bounds. That's just remaining consistent with rules. And you, no matter how much money you make, there still has to be rules. So I love Butler, and I love that he quickly acquiesced, but I have no problem with what the NBA did here. None at all.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, moving on here. Take the Rockets 2-0 thus far during the restart. Two games. They've come from behind to win over the weekend. They beat the Mavericks, beat the Bucks, two good teams, as we know. James Harden pumping in nearly 40 a game while being efficient, 56% from the field overall, while Russell Westbrook put in 31 in both games. He's got 60 deuce in or out. The Rockets have a greater chance of reaching the finals in the bubble than they do under normal circumstances, or did under normal circumstances this season, in or out.
I mean, I think this is inbounds, BT, because we don't know what, you know, how other teams are going to fare throughout this kind of environment that they're in. Not that I'm making it higher, but given what was going on before the stoppage and outside of the bubble, I do think that this isolated environment is really good for the Houston Rockets because it gets their two superstars kind of, I think, focused a little bit and dialed in. Not that they're aloof or, you know, their minds aren't places, but I think that the lack of distraction, the lack of home court disadvantage, because they're going to be somewhere, is going to help these two stars. So I'm going to say inbounds of this.
I'm going to say inbounds too. And Tiki knows as well as anybody, I have zero faith in the Rockets to win a championship. Mm-hmm. And I've voiced that for years on this show. Years. But this is unique.
Yep.
This is a little quirky. This is a little freelance. This is a little schoolyard. This is just...
defense is sometimes optional.
A little optional. We've seen some high scores for sure.
Man.
This is just, you have those two guys who could be getting it, who are just such... Now, Westbrook's an uber athlete.
Yep.
Harden's a great scorer. He's not an uber athlete. But you put those two things together, even though his footwork and dexterity is incredible. You put those two things together, and you've got a recipe to surprise some people. So my answer is absolutely inbounds. And I still don't think that they will win it. But, yes, they have more of a chance to win it in the bubble than if it was a conventional finish.
Are you in or are you out?
All rise. Yankee slugger Aaron Judge is going deep. Five straight games, and he's got six in those five. He leads majors with six so far. And they're all clutch, too. Now, after setting the rookie home run record at the time, which Pete Alonso has since passed,
yep.
Judge has had back-to-back injury-plagued seasons, hitting 27 home runs in each of the past 2 years, despite missing a lot of games. In or out, Judge, all rise, is the best pure home run hitter in baseball right now.
Pure home run hitter.
Natural.
Most natural pure home run hitter. I'm probably still going to say Trout.
Pure?
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Yeah, it probably is Judge. I'll say inbounds. Only because he just does it so effortlessly. Remember the home run derby a couple years ago? It's like he was toying with it. It wasn't even like dramatic.
Nice.
It's just like, I'm going to hit 15 here. Well, I'm going to hit 25. I'm going to hit 12. Whatever I want to do, I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say, yeah, I'll say inbounds.
Absolutely inbounds here. Now, just for a little perspective, the other players that are in play would be Alonso, despite the slow start.
Mm-hmm.
He's a masher. I love Pete Alonso.
But he's only in his second year.
Yeah, he's only in his second year. Pitcher's figuring him out now. He's got to make the adjustment, blah, blah, blah. Giancarlo Stanton, when he's healthy, his exit velo always supports his natural home run process,
yep,
or prowess. I look at...
he's got an odd swing, though.
He does. No, it's very
like a chop.
Yes, it's choppy. It's a muscle-bound swing. Mm-hmm. Judge has a fluid swing. And Judge... Listen, I'm going to look at exit velo. So, just natural, consistent contact. Who hits the ball consistently the hardest? And your answers are the three guys that I just mentioned. The numbers bear that out. Now... Stanton pulls the ball a little bit more. Judge is pulling the ball a lot this year. They all could go deep, dead center. That's a given. But, I just think that Judge is the more refined hitter of the three right now. He's got the most pure power, and he's got the most leverage being 6'7". It does look easy. Inbounds. He's the guy. Boy, when he hits him, everyone is 450, 452, 449. What a beast. What a masher.
Yeah, and even when he mishits him, they go to the warning track.
That's true. And by the way, an all-around player. Great fielder, good on the bases, good wheels. All right, coming up, the West Coast Conference becomes the first to do something today. What did they do? I'll tell you.
Okay. Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.